All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let everybody find their place. Good to see everybody. Good spirit in here this morning, seems like. So good to see everybody. Got to see some folks hadn't seen in a while, too. So that's a blessing. So good to see all of you this morning. We do want to welcome everybody here to Gospel Light. Hope you come this morning. Really looking to see something from the Lord. Got a good crowd of youngins on each side. Appreciate all the work that goes into that. Don't say much about that from time to time, but it's good to have a bunch of youngins in our children's churches. Good to have you in here. So let's be continually inviting folks, and just a lot of things happening, but it is good to see everybody this morning. Do get a bulletin. Most things in there, of course, but just wanted to mention a few things real quickly. Do remember all of our services. Hope you'll be back tonight. Lord willing, 5:45 will be prayer room. So, fellas, hope you'll come. Really have some good time in the prayer room. So, 5:45, then service will be at 6. And of course, Wednesday night at 7. Next Sunday, there'll be a shower for Carrie and Chocolate Chip. That's all we know that its name is Chocolate Chip. Next Sunday, 4 to 5:30, and then also next Sunday we'll have a deacons meeting. The week of Thanksgiving, we move our Wednesday night service to the Tuesday. So Tuesday the 22nd, we'll have a soup social. We come in here, have a Thanksgiving service in here. Then we have a good time at our soup social. So just bring your favorite can of soup, tomato, what it not. You can bring that, that's fine. But crock pot of whatever. So what do you want to bring? Dessert, drink, that'd be great. And then December 3rd, we're going to have our next men's prayer breakfast. So we've moved it up 30 minutes. That 8:30 is going to be 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock on that 3rd be our prayer breakfast. And then the 17th of December at 12 o'clock is going to be the senior luncheon. 12 o'clock on Saturday the 17th. So seniors, hope you'll put that on your list. And put that on your calendar or whatever. And then I'm sure my wife hadn't done it yet, but she will. There'll be a sign-up sheet back there for the men's breakfast and for the senior Christmas banquet. So a lot of things happening. Boy, it's cranking up. It's hard to believe this year's getting out of here quickly. But we're just going to take it day by day, enjoy the things of the Lord. And he's just good to us. So, amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Russell will come. We'll sing a few songs. Oh, I forgot this one. It's right in front of me, too. I forgot it. Brother Rick gave me this. Did want to mention it. They're doing a fundraiser for Salem. What's your last name? What is it? Collins. I said Cox. I was like, huh? I know it went Collins. Salem Collins. He's a young girl that's got a, I can't imagine this disease, but it's tough. I can't pronounce it. Complex regional pain syndrome, what he said. And but again, it's probably what I was reading here, one of the most painful types of things you can have, just constant pain. Really no cure for it, but they can get it into remission. And everything has to be, the treatments are in Arkansas. And it's not covered by insurance either. So they're doing a benefit for her. It's going to be November 26th. And the flyer's back there. I'll just leave it that. But it is the 26th. They're going to have a meal. They're going to have some good singing. They're going to have an auction. And they're also raffling off some really nice weaponry. So if you want to have any questions, I'm sure you can see Brother Russell, Miss Wendy, or Brother Rick. And this young lady, if I remember right, Brother Rick, she is Brother Adam's, Mike Adams' granddaughter. Okay. He's a Rock of Ages, yep. So he's been here before. And then that ties into Josh somehow. I don't know how that's tied in. Cousin. Okay, yep. Yep. Yeah, we were out. Yeah, I remember that. So, if you're interested in that, see them or look back there on the board. There's a flyer back there. So, please. Most of all, pray for them. That's the main thing. I know the doctor says there's no cure, but I know the great physician can. So, let's just pray that way as well. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. God, most of all, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you this morning, God, that I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And God, I do pray this morning, God, you speak to hearts as only you can. God, I know there's needs. God, there's so much going on these days, it seems like. But, Lord, I just pray for just the next little while. Would you put a hush on our hearts, God, and just let us hear what you have for us today, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it all. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's all stand up. Stand up, turn to number 10. Number 10. I told Rhonda, I said I had to pick lowerish songs to try to lead. I sound like a teenager if I get up here and my voice cracks. See what I'm talking about? So I have to try to keep it down. I wish this would stop. It's killing me. So here we go. Number 10. We're going to do the first. We'll just sing them all. All four. Here we go. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward to Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'll sing the lower ones. I'll let you guys sing the higher ones. All right, so here we go. Verse 2. Wafting on the rolling tide, tell to sinners far and wide, sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. I wish I had a volume control, like remote control. I told Wendy, I said, I'm wearing myself out up here because I can't sing it. I'm going, go on, go on, go on. All right, so here we go. On verse number 3.
Sing above the battle strife. By his death and endless life. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing it
through. All right, on the last one, here we go.
Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves.
All right, before we sit down, flip over to number 40. Number 40. This got 5 verses. We ain't gonna do all 5. So, let's do 1, 2, and 5. So the first, second, the last one. And, trust and obey, for there's no other way. So here we go.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Turn around and shake hands while they play.
All right, you can be seated this morning. Again, appreciate the good songs. I told Brother Russell I had to run out and get my cell phone, which I never usually keep that with me, but I'm still learning hearing aids, and I can adjust my hearing aids with my phone. And before then, I couldn't hear nothing but a roar in my head. So for you that wear hearing aids, it is an experience. So we're learning as we go. But amen. Appreciate the good songs. Who's singing, Brother Russell? Rhonda, that's good. Thank you. Before Miss Rhonda comes, or before she sings here in just a moment, again, a lot to pray about. So many needs. Seems like everywhere I turn around, there's sicknesses and death, and just seems like it's never ending. But I'm glad our future looks better. I really do. But you know, it'd be really depressed if this is all we had. It surely would. But continue to pray for Miss Brenda. Boy, she was just really broken yesterday. I'm sure she's still upset today, but. Some of you probably remember her brother. They used to sit right over there about where, right in front of where Brian and were, Sam and
Paula.
Yeah. And then they had a son, Sam Jr. So just pray for that family. I think she told me they go to the funeral home tomorrow morning, so we'll know more of the arrangements probably sometime tomorrow. I'm pretty sure all the service will be here, but just don't know what day and what time. So we'll let you know on that. Can you pray for Miss Knupp? She is in a nursing home, just getting where she can move around, do better, some of that there. Do pray for Salem that we mentioned just a minute ago. Then found out this morning, Curtis Morris, he's the older gentleman that came to us in VBS. He usually sits somewhere back there in the back. Miss Sondra told me they had to take him to the hospital last night. He has a aneurysm in his abdomen area. They flew him from the VA to somewhere, I never forgot where she said, probably doing surgery today. So just pray for him. I feel like, you know, a little bit I've got to talk to him, seems like he's a saved man and loves the Lord. Just don't have anybody. He really don't. He don't have any family that cares about him, nobody around him, just us, you know. So it's good to have church family. And just pray for him. We'll try to find out some more later on about how he's doing. So, all right, Miss Rodney, go ahead and sing for us.
When I look at my life and all I've been given, my family and friends, all the blessings from heaven, the Father above has lovingly showered on me. I feel overwhelmed and so undeserving to think of His goodness and wonderful mercies. My heart fills with praise, and I can't help but joyfully sing. I have God to thank for everything, the battles I've fought and the victories I've seen. He has supplied what I've needed along the way. But most of all, He saved my soul. He promised me heaven. I'm ready to go. I have God to thank, and forever I'll praise His name. It's not that this road has always been easy, but He's been faithful, and He'll never leave me. I find sweet peace and assurance within Word. My cup's overflowing, I'm living in favor, abundant provision from the hand of the Savior. I'll lift my voice and forever I'll praise His name. I have God to thank for everything, the battles I've fought and the victories I've seen. He has supplied what I've needed along the way. But most of all, He saved my soul. He promised me heaven. heaven, and I'm ready to go. I have God to thank, and forever I'll praise His name. Oh, but most of all, He saved my soul. He promised me heaven, and I'm ready to go. I have God to thank, and forever I'll praise His name. I'll praise His name.
Amen. It's all that and more. Amen. I promise you. I really do. Thank you, Miss Rhonda. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. Again, good to see everybody. Hope the Lord will speak to our hearts today. He has mine. Already through the songs, and then what I'm preaching just goes right along with what Miss Rhonda just sang. So I like how God puts things together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you found your place and you can, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. Hope you make much of this great book. We're just going to read one verse this morning here and use that to run with what the Lord's really laid on our heart today. The Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest men spiritually besides the Lord Jesus Christ there ever was. God allowed him to write most of the New Testament. God used him in a mighty way as he lived upon this earth. God changed him from a religious man to a saved man. And Paul was just a tremendous, tremendous man of God. And here, Paul makes this great statement, and I don't think I can probably say it as Paul said it, but I hope to take what we see today and grow upon that. Look in verse number 10 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. Verse 10 says, "But by the grace of God," boy, you could stop right there and just go for a long time. Thank God for God's grace. Amen. You don't deserve a thing, but God just continually blesses us. But by the grace of God, then he makes this statement, "I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul says, "I am what I am." And my question this morning, I almost felt scared when I wrote this down because I was thinking of where we live and the crazy world that we live in. Paul says, "I am what I am." Then my question is, what are you? Because I ask that question myself a lot of times. I see somebody, I think, what are you? But seriously, this morning, Paul made that statement, "I am what I am." And I hope to give you just a couple of things this morning to sure encourage you, I hope, and help us as we go down life's road. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you once again for the good songs that you've allowed us to sing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we sure have enjoyed. And God, thank you, Lord, for this precious book, Lord. And God, these words, it's not just words, but it's God-breathed, God, as we hear what saith the Scriptures. God, we want to see you today. And Lord, I pray, God, for the next little bit, God, would you please, please speak to hearts as only you can. God, let them not hear what a man has to say. Lord, let them not hear man's opinion, but God, let them hear what you would desire them to understand today, Lord. And God, we'll thank you for all you do. For it's in the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. Again, Paul makes his statement. And again, so many things in the book of 1 Corinthians there, especially here in chapter 15, we can look at. But Paul makes this statement again, "I am what I am by the grace of God." If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be nothing. Amen. But because of the grace of God, we are more than most what people think you are. And I what triggered this thought in my mind is I was doing some reading, and Mark Twain spoke a quote of Mark Twain. Says that there's two great days in everyone's life. Everybody in here, now you think, "Man, I had a great day last week." Well, these are the two of the greatest days that you'll ever have in your life. And this is what Mark Twain said, and I believe it's true. We'll look at it physically and spiritually. He says the day you were born, and second of all, is the day you find out why. Now, when it comes to the day you were born, that is pretty exciting, I guess. But to be honest with you, I can't remember a thing about it. I have no idea. That piece of paper that Mom and Daddy gave me when I moved out of the house, that says it's my birth certificate, it's signed and said I was born on May 24th, 1969, but I couldn't tell you that was true. The guy making the paper might have been wrong. Her grandpa had two birthdays. They had the birthday that was written down in the Bible and the birthday that when they took him to the courthouse and got him registered. So he had two birthdays and they wasn't the same. But Mark Twain said that a man or a person, the day you were born and the day you figure out why you were born are the two greatest days of your life. Now I want to speak, first of all, on the physical side. Again, I don't know anything about the day I was born. I couldn't tell you days after I was born for a long time. I mean, I can remember back to a certain period, but there's not much in before that. Now, my brother, he's a different character. I believe he remembers when the doctor smacked him. So he just has that kind of mind. But I don't. And again, as far as the actual day, I couldn't tell you what the weather was. I couldn't tell you hardly anything about it, to be honest with you. But I do know this about the physical birth of me. I know, according to the Word of God, that I'm special. Well, who do you think you are, preacher? You think you're just special? Well, let me tell you why. Because God said I was special. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your color is, what your creed is. I don't care how pretty you think you are or how ugly somebody else thinks you are. You're special to God. Now, in the society that we have grown into, I don't know that it's been this way forever. I can't say that, but I know today I was going to go look it up, but I thought that was a waste of my time. But there's millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars spent every year on people trying to make themselves look better. They do plastic surgeries, they do this, they do that, to try to make themselves better, not in God's eyes, but in man's eyes. But I want to say this morning, I think about, as we've dealt with teenagers, not as much as we used to, of course, but back in our day of going to campus all the time, doing things for our young folks, it amazes me. I don't guess it's so much with the fellas, but I know my wife dealt with a lot of the ladies. They're so pressured to meet what a certain look's supposed to be. But if you'll ever get a hold of the fact that you're made just like God wanted you to be made, that you wasn't made after some piece of junk, that you are made according to the Word of God. So the day that you were born truly is an amazing day physically. The second thing about the physical side of that is why. And I believe there's a lot of people, I know there's a lot of people because I've met a lot of people. There's a lot of young people today that don't have a clue why they were born. They're trying to impress somebody else. They're trying to do all they can to make somebody else happy. They're running after the dollar bill. But I can honestly say, and us older folks can say as well, if you're going to work just for the money, you're not going to like your job. I've had jobs that paid really well, but I hated them. It was a chore just to get up out of bed and go to that place because I hated that job so much. Today, our young people are so pressured in school systems today to set themselves on a life course. I'm telling you that most people, even in college today, have no idea what they're going to do with their life. I know older people that still don't have a clue what their life is really about. They're running here, they're running there, they're doing this, they're doing that. But I'm telling you, you will never enjoy life until you figure out why you were born. We all have talents. I'm talking physically. We're going to go spiritually here in this moment. But physically, this morning, you ought to find that place that you know that this is the purpose of your life. Everybody needs purpose. If you don't have purpose, you're going to fall quickly into depression. But when you realize that what you do is what you've been called to do, and again, I've always said, I don't think it's as true today as it used to be, but I always felt that a nurse, a true, real nurse was a calling. Because most nurses have to do a lot of things that I surely wouldn't want to do. And then there's teachers. I had some teachers in my day that I can remember, they were just called to be a teacher. That was what they were meant to be. Now today, I know because of money, there's a lot of people in places that that's really not their calling. They just went and got a piece of paper that says they can do the job. But you could tell somebody that loves what they do. And that's the reason I think when Mark Twain said that is such a true statement, that two of the greatest days in our lives is the day that we were born and the day that we figured out why we were born. Now let's run that spiritually this morning, which is a whole lot more important. First of all, this morning, the day I was born again. I was born physically May 24th, 1969. And I was alive and breathing and living. And you can talk to my wife. It's amazing what some of our states have adopted into their laws on abortion. It amazes me. I was talking to a guy the other day that his daughter is pretty, well, she graduated from a college. And college seems to ruin our young people because it takes their mind and makes them dumb. This young lady was arguing with her daddy about abortion. It was her body, her right. And he finally got fed up with her and told her to shut up and tell her, said, "Aren't you glad I didn't decide to kill you?" That makes a lot of sense to me. But they surely don't look that way. Boy, the day of birth of a life, and it's just something. Miss Rhonda just had that little baby, and Carrie and Miss Heather is going to have these little babies, and it's just something about a youngin' being born. But boy, there's something even more special. Because I remember the day like it was the day. Again, I have no idea the day I was born. I ain't got a clue what that day was like. But there is a special day in my life that I can run back to, and I like to run back there a lot. Because it takes me down the basements of Friendship Baptist Church, and it takes me down the hallway of that little old church, and on the last room on the right, which is now a nursery. But at that time, it was a teen class. I was sitting in that class. I can walk in that room. I was sitting second row in the corner on a steel, one of those old hard metal chairs. Bobby Henderson and David Jordan was teaching us in our VBS class. I can't tell you one thing that they taught us. I can't. But I do remember this. My pastor at that time was Vernon Ball. Pastor Ball came into that classroom and he says, "I just want to talk to you a minute." And he began to talk to us, and I don't remember all the words he said, but I do remember this. He says, "I want you to bow your heads and I want you to think with me just a moment." He says, "I know you're in church. I know you know how to be in church. I know you know how to do all the church stuff. But let me ask you, if you died today, do you really know that you go to heaven?" He says, "If you really know, I want you to raise your hand." And I couldn't raise my hand. I didn't open my eyes. I figure everybody else in that room raised their hands. He says, "If you can't raise your hands, will you look at me?" And my eyes hit his straight on. He took me up to his office of the church there, and he began to talk to me. God had already been talking to me. And I got saved that day. I was in his office when we said a prayer. But I believe with all my heart I got saved sitting in that chair that day. When I realized that I wasn't going to heaven because I was a Baptist. And I wasn't going to heaven because I was a good boy or I was in a good family or I was this or that. I realized I was missing something. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And I remember that great day like it was today, amen. I can visually, as I just said, I don't know what your experience was. I've heard some of you before tell your testimony.
But it doesn't matter where you were, and it doesn't matter what situation you was in. What matters is you truly trusted Christ as your Savior, and you were born again. That's one of the greatest days in a person's life. I thought about that great day of being born again, and I became a son of God. I didn't realize it that day. All I knew is I wasn't saved, and all I knew is I didn't want to go to hell, and all I knew is I needed something, and God reached out His hand, and I accepted Him. But boy, over years of time and studies and hearing preaching and just letting God speak to my heart, that day has just got more special and more special again. The day I was born physically, I don't know. But I can tell you this morning on a fact. Well, preacher, I don't believe you can know that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible says over there in 1 John that these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And friend, this morning, again, I don't really know that I was born on May 24th, 1969. I can't prove that. I don't know. It's a conspiracy theory. I was really born some other time. I don't know. But to be honest with you, there's nothing that a person can do. Well, look, it says it right here on this. Anybody can. Eric Moore. me and him used to talk a lot. I don't remember what the conversation was, but I remember telling him this. I says, I can teach a monkey to put something on the internet. You can. Yep. You can teach a monkey to do any of that. But again, there's no proof that, except for what my mom and daddy says and what that paper says. I bet you today, I guess that doctor's probably dead now, but that doctor that birthed me into this world, if he was still alive, I bet if I walked up to him and said, hey, you remember me? But you know what? I can go to God this morning and say, hey, you remember me? He says, oh, yes. You're mine. But again, there's nothing that I can do to bring mental thoughts of the day that I was physically born. And that was a great day in my life because that's when life, well, 9 months prior to that, whatever that would be, was really when life happened. But I was birthed, I was born on that day and came into this world and here I is. But the day I got born to the family of God. Now, again, I didn't know any of this. I know that I'm saved. Well, preacher, how do you know? Because that book keeps showing me. God's Spirit resides within me. He keeps ensuring me. Hey, but I'm telling you, as I've grown and as I've read and I've studied and as I've just walked with God, I'm telling you, the day I was born, spiritually born again, has become more and more prevalent in my life. Why? Because first of all, I found out that I was a son of God. Oh, preacher, you're not a son of God. The Bible says that we are sons of God. I became part of the family of God. I also learned that I am an heir to God. Now listen, I ain't going to say what I was told this morning. Somebody told me this. I ain't going to tell you who or why. They said that they were helping somebody and said that they didn't have anybody and said that when they died, that this person could have everything they had. And that person looked at me and says, I don't think I want a thing they got. But I trust me, some of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life happen after somebody dies. Families seem like they instantly blow up and blow out. I've seen them fight, really have. I've seen them fight at the funeral, at the graveside. I know a guy that when his mom or his daddy died, whichever one was last, he had to go and put a padlock on the house because his brothers and sisters were stealing stuff. Ain't that sad? I know people today that if their parents died, their bodies probably wouldn't even get cold before they've thought about all the stuff that they were going to go again. Now listen, I really don't know some because Daddy's told me some things, but I really don't have a clue what my Daddy's going to leave me, if anything. He might cut me out of his will. I don't know. I don't think he will, but there's still hope that he might, you know. I don't know. But I'm saying this morning that people today look at life and think, man, when that person dies, I'm going to get this great inheritance. What good is that? Because you're going to die and somebody else is going to get it. What does that mean? I told you. When somebody hugs you that don't like you, they're just trying to measure out how big of a hole to dig when they bury you in the backyard. Oh, I know some people like that. It's like, is there a knife in my back? So when somebody hugs you, just be careful. They're measuring you up. But you know, again, if my daddy left me, whatever. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of these guys that's, I guess I'm too sentimental on things. I got my grandpa's. I didn't get this to begin with. I wanted it, but I was just a grandchild, so I didn't have any say in anything, which is fine. But I wanted his pocket watch. My grandpa, if you ever saw him, he was 99.9% of the time in bib overalls and had a pocket watch stuck in his bibs. And I wanted that pocket watch, and my uncle got it, and which is fine. He deserved it. But one day I was over doing some work for my uncle. He needs some electrical work, and I went over and done some electrical work. And he says, well, how much do I owe you? I said, you don't owe me a thing. You're my uncle. I did this because you're family. He said, wait a minute, I want to give you something. And he came back and he opened up his hands. And he had my grandpa's pocket watch. That pocket watch means nothing to nobody. It ain't fancy. It ain't expensive. But that pocket watch means something to me. And that little pocket watch, I bet if I put it under a microscope, I could see teeth prints in it. Because every youngin', grand youngin', they kept foster kids. Every foster kid sat on his lap with that watch in their hands chewing on it. Man, that's an inheritance to me. But again, somebody, I'm going to die one of these days, and it's going to go to somebody, whoever she throws it at, I don't know. It ain't going to mean a dime to them. They'll probably chunk it. You couldn't even get somebody to buy it. But when I got saved, when I got born again, I became an heir to the throne of God. Hey, I got an inheritance coming like you can't even begin to even dream about. Hey, moth and rust can't corrupt it. Amen. Things can't steal it away from me. I'm telling you that the day I got born again is one of the best days of my life because I'm saved. And on my way to heaven, this morning I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm strong in the Lord. I have surety in my heart. I have peace. I have a passion. I have a place to go. Amen. All because that day. Well, that day there's a whole lot better that day, May 24th, 1969. You know what I got that day? This is biblically right. You know what I got that day? A life full of trouble. Man, born of a woman, days are full of trouble. That's what I got that day. Oh, but that day at Friendship Baptist Church, in that little old room in the bottom of that church, when the Lord spoke to my heart and I asked Him to come into my heart and save me, hey, I got something that day. That's the best day of my life. Now, let's move second of all. Mark Twain said the best day of a man's life is the day he was born and the day he figures out why. How many of us this morning, I'm not looking around real strongly, but how many of us this morning could raise your hand up and say, preacher, I know that I know that I know that I know that I've been born again, I'm saved. Many, 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 many hands. All right, you can put them down. Now, This is where most people can't raise their hand. Have you ever figured out why? There's a lot of born-again believers today that are saved. They're going to heaven when they die, but they have never figured out why God saved them. Again, it goes back to purpose. There's a lot of people this morning that has not enjoyed the life of Christ has given them. Again, Jesus says, I've come that you may have life. Thank God. They're at Friendship Baptist Church. But He didn't stop there. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, if I got that job right there, I'm telling you, I'd have so much money, I'd just be good. You get that job, you have more money, and then you feel worse. Because you're paying more taxes and you bought too much junk and now you got to pay for all that junk. I got saved. 13-year-old boy in Vacation Bible School at Friendship Baptist Church. And from that day until now, God put me on a road. Have I hit all the marks? Nope. But let me tell you this. One of the best days of my life was that day when I got saved. Amen. Let me tell you about the second best day of my life. Was the day that I found out why God would save me. What was my purpose in God's plan? Why did God love me so much that He would die for me that I could live? This morning, are you just floundering around in your spiritual life? You'll never enjoy, you'll never know the truth until you, and again, I know this don't fly with a lot of people, but I believe this is true. You're not born just to do about anything you want to do. I believe with all my heart that everybody that's saved has a precise will of God for their life. And until you get to that place, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're saved, and that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're in the center of God's will. Only then will you have the two greatest days of your life. Well, preacher, what day is, what is that for me? I can't tell you, and I never even begin to tell you. I've heard people try to tell people what the will of God is for them. To me, that's crazy. Because I struggle sometimes at knowing what the will of God is. How in the world could I ever tell somebody else what the will of God is? But boy, when you get to that place and you can mark her down, boom. Right now, I'm in the center. Now, that might change. God might have you in the center here and say, hey, you've been there long enough. It's time to get up. I've got something else for you to do. But as long as you're in obedience, guess what? You're still in the center of God's will. So this morning, the greatest day of my life was when I got born again. The second day of my life was when I realized why. In my life, I was saved at 13 years old. I was in a church at that time. I loved Brother Vernon Ball. He wasn't my pastor very long, but he was a great man. After he left, we got another pastor that I'm not going to name his name, but let me be honest with you. And it's not their fault, it's my fault. But they didn't help it any. I grew up in a pretty dead church for a long part of my life. I was never encouraged to find out what the will of God was in my life. If I was saved, you're okay. That's all you need to know. I was never encouraged. Listen to this. Our church. Remember that woman? Won't name her name either. She was married to a missionary. I don't remember where she was from. She had never heard, Brother Rick, of what a track was. Never heard. Well, let me tell you. The majority of my Christian life, I didn't know what a track was. Because we wasn't encouraged to go soul winning. We wasn't encouraged to go out and share the good news. All we were encouraged to do is come to church, pay your tithes, go back home. So I didn't grow a lot spiritually. Oh, but God saved me for a purpose, and God saved me for a reason. And I got to the place that I was trying to figure out, God, what's my purpose in life? And God put some men in my life that began to lead me to find out more and more about what the will of God was for my life. And as they began to feed me and to encourage me and to direct me, I began to get hunger and hunger and hungrier for the things of God. And I said, I wanted to know what God wanted me to do. And I began to learn more about serving Him and more about being a witness for Him. And then there comes this life and part of my life. God says, I want you to become a preacher. You know what I said? No. I tried to play it off. I tried to ignore it. I went to church. I did what I was supposed to do. But I was not going to surrender myself to become a preacher. That's not what my physical life wanted to do. I had dreams of the physical side that if I become a preacher, I couldn't do that. But God says, I want you to be a preacher. That was the reason He saved me. And I told God no. Now, you have to ask her this. That was one of the most miserable days of our lives. Why? Because I was not in the will of God. And God was trying to put me in His will. But I still remember that day. Just like I remember as a 13-year-old boy, the day I was born. I can take you back. It was around Thanksgiving. Friendship Baptist Church. We only had two things of pews. It was a small church. Aisle down the middle, two things on that. We were sitting on the right-hand side, right about the, I don't know, fourth or fifth row back. I just couldn't take it no more. And I went from there down to the altar about right here. And I bowed myself before God and said, God, I don't want to continue my life like this. I'm tired of being miserable. I'm tired of being mean. I'm tired of this. John Whalen, my pastor, I still remember. I don't know if he remembers, but I remember. Because God had been preaching to me about every service. I don't care if he was preaching on Calvary. God was preaching to me about preaching. And I bowed myself right here and I was weeping. I was praying and I was asking God what to do. And I can still remember Preacher Whalen come down, put his hand on my shoulder and says, can I help you pray about something? And this is what I said. I looked him eyeball to eyeball. And I said, you know what's wrong with me. Because he'd been preaching to me. He didn't know it. But when I looked at him, I said, you know what's wrong. And that day, right there, Friendship Baptist Church, I surrendered my life, not just to be a preacher. God might not always want me to be a preacher. But I surrendered that day of my life to this. God, whatever you want me to do, and wherever you want me to go, we'll do it. Second greatest day of my life. Because I wasn't just floundering around. I wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. I wasn't just saved and going to heaven. Now I understood I had a purpose. Now again, from that day till now, it's been a long time. As far as I know, we're still where God wants us to be. And I have peace. I'm not running around thinking, what am I going to do? I just know. Most of you probably never know this story. I'll tell this one fast and I'll be done. Gospel Light Baptist Church was without a preacher. Uh God allowed Mark Page to come into my life. I was working as an engineer at Thomas Built Bus at the time. I'd left our first church. What'd you do? I had no idea what God was going to do with me. All I knew this is God says you need to keep your family in church and you need to keep busy. So we went to church and we stayed busy and we just minding the Lord the best we knew how. I had no idea what was next. Let me back up just even back up like this. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God wanted me to leave Mount Hebron Baptist Church. I believed with all my heart God wanted me there. And I believe God sent us there to do some things. And then God said, okay, it's time to move. I believe that. I resigned that day at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. Now, this is a husband and a daddy. I did not have a job. We did not have insurance. I'm like, what are we going to do? I was like, I don't know. I just know that this is what God is wanting me to do. So we did it. I made one phone call to a guy that I got to lead to the Lord years ago. God's moving us. We're leaving the church and I don't even have a resume anymore. Can you help me get my resume up to date? Can you help me get it out to some people? And he says, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, I'm leaving the church. He says, well, I'll just hire you. I said, you can't just hire me. He said, yeah, I'm actually needing some help. And we were actually looking. I said, I'll hire you. I said, yeah, what, second and third shift? He says, no, because I was dreading. I really was. I knew going back into the manufacturing world that I'd have to be on second shift or third shift. And I just didn't want to do that. But I knew I needed to do something to support my family. So whatever it took. He says, no. He says, it'll be first shift. I said, well, that sounds good. I said, well, tell me some more. He says, well, how long have you been gone from Freightliner? And I went back and I don't remember how long it was. He says, really? He says, wait a minute, let me do some checking. I'll call you back on Monday. Now, I left Freightliner. Great job, great benefits, had it made physically. God called me into pastoring and preaching, and God had opened the door for us to go to Mount Hebron Baptist Church. And I remember I went to my boss and I said, here's my resignation. He says, what are you going to do? And I got to say, I said, I'm going to go pastor a church. And he said, what? You'll starve to death. You'll never make it on a preacher's salary. Here we are. But I left Freightliner, went and pastored. God said, leave. Called this guy, told him what was happening. He says, I'll call you Monday. Let me check on some stuff. He calls me Monday. He says, this is the deal. He says, I can bring you back at top pay because it'll be just like you never left Freightliner because Thomas Bus was owned by Freightliner. So when I went back to Thomas Bus, I came back with everything that I left and more when I left Freightliner. Who else can do that besides God? Well, I was pretty content. I was making money. I was keeping my family fed and bills were paid and we were in a good church and we were serving the Lord and God was just seemed like he was really blessing. And then one day I went to work and my boss met at Thomas Built Bus says, hey, we got a contractor that's here and I want you to go over there and we got this new glass cell. Puts glue on glass, sticks it on the bus. He says, I want you to work with that guy. Well, that guy happened to be Mark Page. Well, me and Mark Page began to talk and he was weeping over what had just happened here at the church. He said, we're bringing in some preachers. This took a little bit of time, of course. I mean, he didn't know me and I didn't know him. But over days, we got to fellowshipping a lot. He says, we're bringing in some preachers just filling in until we find a pastor. He says, would you be willing to come? I said, well, yeah. He says, well, you've got any tapes, which was wise on his part because he didn't know how I preached. He says, you got anything that you can let me have that, and I it's like, I don't have anything. So I dug around. We found some stuff from Friendship, I guess, and he brought it. And then the door opened. I got to come. We were here when Gospel Light Baptist Church had their very first VBS in a years upon years time. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting right over there watching VBS go. Mm-hmm. Brother Stacy Dasso was doing all the work and leading. Everybody else was doing. It was fun. We preached several times, in and out, and in and out. And Brother Mark came to me and says, listen, would you be interested in if we threw your name in the hat for being the pastor? Well, I didn't tell him, but I done told her. I said, this is where God wants us to be. Even before they even asked, I knew this is where God wanted me to be. So I said yes. We preached some more. Gospel Light brought in a guy from Arkansas, I think he was from. He preached some. Come down to it, y'all voted in, not me. The church voted in the guy from Arkansas. Honesty here, I was devastated. I went to God and I was like, God, how bad did I miss that? God, you said this is where I was supposed to be, and now I'm not there. And man, I'm telling you, it crushed. Because I was as sure as I was being saved, I was as sure this is where God wanted me to be. What'd you do, preacher? I just kept doing what I was supposed to do. I even preached here a few times afterwards. Because the guy that, I don't know, y'all probably remember his name, he was supposed to go back home, get his affairs in order, and move his family out here. So I even filled in during that period of time. And then, only God. This dude, and you can talk to some of the people that was involved with that, this dude fell off the world. They'd call him. He wouldn't call back. He's supposed to be here. He didn't show up. And that went on for a pretty little while. I just kept filling in. And finally, I think the church says, well, I think we messed up. And here I am, 18 years later. You know how that works? Because there's two great days in every person's life. It's the day that I was born again. And it was the day that I surrendered my life and my family to the Lord. Have we hit all the marks? Nah. We've missed a few along the way. But I know why God saved me. I close with this. Do you? Do you know why you're saved? You're not saved just to go to heaven. If that was a true statement, you'd already be there. God didn't save you just to get you out of hell. God saved you for a purpose. Now, your purpose might not be the same as mine as far as the path. But your purpose will be the same as mine, as in the center of God's will. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Nobody's looking around. Two great days. The first great day this morning is the day that you get born again. I wonder this morning if there'd be somebody here this morning that'd say, preacher, I've never been born again. I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. Boy, I sure would like to. Is anybody here that way? That's how I was at Vacation Bible School. I had religion down pat, but I sure wasn't saved. You ever been born again? Well, how do you know? Trust me, you'll know. Are you born again? That was the best day of my life, number one. Number two, was the day when I found out why. And you can be here this morning, and you can be saved, and only way you're on the way to heaven, and not know why. I promise you this morning, just as real as I know that I'm saved, I know that God has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for your life. Are you in the will of God this morning? Are you right where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? Not about what you want to do. Not about what somebody else wants you to do. Are you where God wants you? Some have already slipped around the altar this morning. Those are the two best days. And friend, this morning you can rejoice all salvation and man, I'll last eternity. But boy, there's another thing if you just only knew why. Are you serving Him? Are you shining the light of the gospel around this world? Those are some reasons God saved you. If you're here this morning, you need to come. You come. If you're here this morning, you need me to pray with you or help you, come get me. Brother Rick, if you will, sing a verse or two. Some folks are praying.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
That's how it starts.
I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
As he sings another verse this morning, his folks are praying.
All to Jesus.
You'll never enjoy life, physically or spiritually,
humbly
until you surrender yourself to the will of God. And once you surrender yourself to the will of God, it's just like being able to see for the first time. You're going to enjoy life so much better. You're going to enjoy the life that God put in your path.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Hope you got something out of the service. Hope you'll be back with us tonight. Prayer rooms at 5:45. Service will be at 6. Have you got your sign-up sheets back here yet? Sign-up sheets? Nope. All right, we'll get those out. But I do remember all the announcements. Do pray for Miss Brenda and the family there. If you get a chance to call, just to try to encourage her a little, I'm sure it'd be a great help there. She's pretty low anyway physically, and this year just really just knocked the wind out of her. So she could use some encouragement. So hope you have a good afternoon. Hope you'll be back with us tonight. And again, a lot to be much in prayer. I do remember the flyers back there for Salem there. If you got any questions, see Brother Rick, Brother Russell, Miss Wendy. They can help you with that. If you want to help there, be a blessing there, I'm sure. So, remember Brother Henderson as well. I hadn't heard anything. But continue to pray for Brother Henderson. He's one of our missionaries. Had a heart attack about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks. So just pray for them. So, all right. Yes, sir. Just continue to pray for him. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's all get out of here. Father, we love you. We thank you. We do sure do praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the day I was born again. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for leading me and guiding me and directing me these years. And God, we sure don't want to quit that. We sure just want to be faithful. You're faithful. Lord, I do pray, God, you'd help each one here today, God, just to let the Holy Spirit of God, as David said, examine me, oh Lord. And Lord, I pray that be our desire this morning, that you would examine us. And as you show us things, God, that we sure would want to see that get right. Go with us. God, give safety. God, bring us back tonight, Lord. And we'll just thank you for all you do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be safe traveling home.